שלום לכם, אנחנו בישיבת כתבים עם הרב דוקטור מיכאל לייטמן.
Hello and thanks for joining us on the writer's meeting. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. And we'd like to start talking about growing hate toward Israel. The growing hate toward Israel. Recently, we see more and more hate toward Israel and the call to destroy the Jewish people, and the natural reaction by Israel and Jews is to hate back. We hate anti-Semites, we hate those that show hate toward us, but the thing is, we learn from you that we don't have to hate our haters, but we have to know how to work with it. On the one hand, to react correctly. On the one hand, to work with it. What does it mean to react correctly toward this? To react correctly means that, first of all, we position ourselves correctly toward the source of hate. That is the upper force, the creator, that there is none else besides him. Therefore, I don't look at all these different organizations that there are more and more of them from one day to the next, and those that were silent or half silent up until now are starting to talk. And it seems to me because it's that Biden came instead of Trump or different other reasons. All that is not important. All that is just in order to confuse my vision and thought, intellect. Everything stems from the upper force, from the Creator, from which all these changes come from, and there's none else besides him, and he's the only one that we can influence. And probably we, the Jews, the people of Israel, are acting incorrectly. We're probably doing something wrong. Probably, as it says in the wisdom of Kabbalah, we're falling behind in our correction, and so we're incapable of balancing out the bad force with the good one. The force of separation that's appearing, the force of evil that's becoming ever more apparent from one day to the next, that exists in connection and balance with the good force that we have to increase against it and to reach at least some kind of balance, if not to lean it in the direction of the force of good. And therefore, in all these things, like with scales, the calculation, in the final calculation, we're losing. And therefore, every day you have more and more organizations that come against us. And in the meantime, they're only talking. It's only the beginning of the negative development, but it will bring worse and worse, more worrying results, truly up to the point where we will have to thoroughly think about how we, precisely we, generate, how we are in struggle here, no more and no less, but with the Creator. And I don't care about Nazis or whoever in Europe or in the United States or new anti-Semites or old anti-Semites, but what I care about is how do I arrange myself vis-a-vis the Creator, the upper force? How do I really balance out the bad by the good and advance toward a more whole and complete state that way that consists both of the bad and the good, and the bad joins the good as well? What does it mean to establish ourselves correctly in relation to the upper force? Because eventually we are the only ones that can change the balance between the force of rejection and connection and love. And unless we do it, then the world's deteriorating again and again to a point where the forces of evil will control the forces of good. And this is what we see is happening today, from day to day. When you say we, who do you mean? The nation of Israel. the nation of Israel, we, the Jews, or also those that we can pull to the same action.
I still want
to understand, once there is hate revealed toward me, my natural response is to hate back, to reject, and so on. How to relate it correctly? For a long time now, I don't hate any anti-Semites and feel no desire to go against them and destroy them and beat them up and so on. But I understand that here, I'm facing the Creator, who in and of Himself is arranging this balance of forces, who gave me the ability to balance out the evil that He's awakening, this called, I've created the evil inclination to balance it out with good, that He gave me the ability to rise, ascend, develop, and therefore the ball is in our court, and we have to realize our destiny. What do we and what don't we have to hate? Besides our laziness, our lack of understanding, our lack of response, correct response toward those evil forces, we don't have to hate anything, only ourselves. Our laziness. And how do we not get up and understand that in our connection, and this is called that you put your eyes on them, that you glance in them and they turn into a pile of bones. How do we turn the anti, that this negativity towards us, into something positive in our favor? I'm not engaged in that. I'm not going to get closer to any nation of the nations of the world to buy them with money or by my good attitude toward them or by other things. Throughout history, they've seen so many good, nice actions by the nation of Israel, that none of them felt any kind of gratitude in return to the people of Israel. None of them felt any gratitude. To the contrary, they accepted it as if they completely deserve it and no one paid any attention to it. And so I relate to them, not because I learn it from history, and also from history we can learn that it won't help us. It won't help us being good to them or to show them how you can bring good things into the world, positive things, necessary things. Won't help. It won't. This is not what they're expecting of you, and therefore if you perform different good actions, causing good to mankind, none of them attributes it to your account. You can bring another million Einsteins and other people that brought good things to mankind. Nothing will help you here. Why? Because they're expecting just one thing of you. For you to balance the good and bad forces that exist in nature, and all of us, all of mankind, meaning that we'll all be able to exist in a world that is completely good. This is what you have to aim, direct, or bring humanity to, and not the different theories that you have in science or medicine or whatever. This isn't what they're impressed with, because this isn't what they're expecting of you. And you want for you want to let go of your main commitment or obligation to mankind and to satisfy them with tiny things like in science and medicine and that and so on. It won't work. You have nothing to be proud about the special unique people that came throughout history from the Jewish people. No one takes that into consideration, but to the contrary, they're asking, they're saying, look what they did. Look what they're engaged in instead of being engaged in what we need. You're explaining that unless we balance out the forces that are being revealed now, then we'll see bad results for Israel. Of course, we ourselves will bring bad things to the nation of Israel. Can you explain what bad things you see happening? Nah, I don't want to be that kind of prophet. Of course, everything that happens, happens to the detriment, unless we pull it towards something better. How do you pull it towards something better? How do you balance it out? Toward connection, to bring ourselves first and foremost to connection, to be an example for the nations of the world, the so-called light onto the nations, and to give an example to the rest of the world of how to be connected. Previously, you said something very powerful, that we are, that our confrontation here is actually, it's with the Creator. Can you explain this a bit? Because the entire plan of creation is established on us mutually working with the Creator, and we don't wanna. We disregard it. We don't want to get the plan of creation from him and realize it, implement it. So maybe he's fighting us because we're doing something wrong. But what does it mean that we're in struggle with him? Because we don't want to accept the plan of creation which he has arranged and that we have to implement. And therefore, we're as if against them. It's like the nations of the world, too, claim that we're no longer the nation of God, that we as if killed the Creator and stuff like that. You know what they say? It's real disregard toward the role that the Creator designated to us, and therefore the nations of the world, through them, even though that He cares for us and all the time arranges different opportunities for us to correct, but along with it, through the nations of the world, He's directing us but toward our role, but in a negative way, through negativity. So, through our separation and especially ego, we position ourselves against the Creator. Of course. Previously, you said that we have to pull the nation of Israel and those that joined. We have to bring them to action. What action and how? What? We will have to be a group that achieves in it the same connection that we study about in the wisdom of Kabbalah, where we help each other up to the point of connection, and then up to the point of love, and by that we awaken positive forces of nature that influence us, and then they influence the corporeal nation of Israel, and through that influence the rest of the nations of the world. And that's how it works. As it says, and then the nations will say that the Creator is doing what he does, and we were like dreamers coming back to Zion. Zion, Zion is falling out of holiness, and we're coming back to Zion, to those places of connection. You said that we're not doing it because of our laziness. Right? We don't understand the kind of force that's embedded in us and the qualities that we have, that by our connection through us, we continue the lights, that these lights can correct all of mankind, or, you know, the connection between everyone. But why is it called laziness? Well, you can call it disregard, disrespect, doesn't matter.
No.
And if the people of Israel know what their role is, the people of Israel don't know about their role. The people of Israel don't want to know about their role. A part of the nation of Israel are rejecting their role actively. That's how it is. They're the source for the general shell. So actually, when you say to balance, to even out, balance out, what exactly do we have to explain to the Jewish people for them to be able to accept their role? That by our connection, through our connection, we bring all the rest of the parts of reality to connection, and first and foremost, human beings in a good and nice way. And then we will see everyone going back to connection, and that we're becoming one mankind. And it all depends on us. We learn that the Creator burdened Pharaoh's heart, and also he burdens the heart of the nation of Israel. So what does he expect, on the other hand, against this burdening? He has to disclose the evil force in nature gradually, that we, against it, will try and ask and attain the force of good, the force of connection, to ask him for it. Many times we hear accusations against the nation of Israel that they don't want to know about their role. Is there some part in it that you can come and complain against? Is there some part of the Jews that understand that they have a role and they don't want to do it, they're rejecting it, or they simply don't understand? There's a part that can imagine that there's something about it, and if we'll start explaining it more broadly, they will understand it and will agree with it. They'll accept our explanation. What do they understand? That, or because, or by looking for the answer for why we hate it, then it's possible to a bit accept our explanation. So those that understand something are really those that suffer anti-Semitism? They're the ones that understand it somewhat? What do you mean when you say that they suffer from anti-Semitism? That they accept it on an inner level, personal level? We know that the pressure that will come from the nations of the world to Israel will come in the form of hate. So, what's the line between dangerous and, you know, something that can help us, kind of hate? It's called Permission Was Given to the Destroyer, like in the times of Hitler, where there were different movements and awakenings in the nation of Israel to come to the land of Israel in order to leave Germany, in order to connect. And they did the opposite out of it. They dispersed into thousands of movements and parties of different sorts and kinds, and they disregarded coming to Israel, they disrespected it. So by that, they allowed the Nazi regime to come to power and eventually brought to the Holocaust. It sounds that in order to advance correctly toward the solution, we have to shift into some kind of new perception of reality, to an understanding that there are forces that are at play here. We're talking about this for years already. So actually, in order for the nation of Israel to understand their ability to generate change, they have to understand the force that they have to influence a deeper layer of reality. Yeah? For that, they have to know what do they have to do, and they have to do just one thing, to be internally connected. If we use the hate toward us, the hate of the nation toward us, in order to connect with one another, that this is how the Creator causes us to be more connected and to act out of here, then good. And if we don't do it, then instead of that, against us, there's general hate, and instead of organizing us toward connection, it destroys us. So it's necessary to explain that there is a game of positive and negative forces here, and we, the nation of Israel, can change the balance of inner forces of reality. Right?
Norma, please.
You started talking about, or you insinuated about, Israel's situation with the danger.
Of
the different organizations that come against this comprise. So the International Court in Hague gave permission to investigate Israel for war crimes done in Judea and Samaria and the West Bank and in Gaza. Are we going into an era where anti-Semitism will become legit through international organizations? Of course, and we ourselves are doing it. We ourselves are doing it. We brought about these circles and this regime. We brought them to power. And we caused this with our very hands. And therefore, it's done by Jews, by the Jewish people, by the Jewish nation itself, just like it was in the times of Hitler, where they supported the Nazi movement and also the Bolsheviks in Russia. They supported with Lenin and Stalin. Same thing in our time. The forces that change and correct the world are only Jewish forces. Look what happened there in Hungary, where it was discovered that there, who was it, the prime minister there, it was found out that he's a Jew, and then there was something in Greece and so on. In short, if we really investigate a bit behind every anti-Semite, he has some kind of connection to Judaism. So we're the ones that brought it about in Israel, in the United States, in Europe, all over the world, and back then it was especially in Europe, and nowadays it's especially in the United States and here in Israel. Are we not causing it? By showing everyone, the entire world, the opposite the incorrect way of how to run a country and a government. The United States responded to what Haag said, that they're worried about the possibility that the court in Haag will open an investigation against Israel. Can we count on them? You can't count on nothing on anyone. It's all politics. All the left in the United States are against Israel and are willing to completely yield it altogether, the entire state of Israel. So right now what we have is ourselves. We don't have ourselves either. Who are we? Here in Israel. The situation is worse than how it was before the times of the destruction of the temple. What should Israel give account for toward the world? Its obligation to the world. How much we need to reach a state where we are not realizing our destiny. We're not considered a part of the nations. We have to bring to all the nations the correct method for their existence, which is above humanity because it's the method of connection. And we're not setting neither an example nor in theory or in practice or anything, in short. We're not talking about it, we're not realizing it in anything. Our destiny, connection, that's what's supposed to be. And it's not seen anywhere in Israel, and therefore we don't have the right to exist. You're saying that we don't even have ourselves, so what perspective is there? No perspective, neither for the country nor for the world. But as it says, in the stages of the last generation, that to the measure to which we can go into problems and troubles in order to nonetheless later realize the plan of creation. From one day to the next, we see that there are forces, opposing forces, that are really eating each other. And it's possible that from that, gradually we'll come to an understanding that we can't continue this way. In the meantime, we see no end. It's still not coming to the recognition of evil, only the revelation of evil, and we don't really understand that it's that bad. So how do we come to the recognition of evil? First and foremost, we have to understand what good is and what bad is. How much we're moving away from the good and coming closer to the bad, and therefore our situation is becoming worse and worse. And so let's hope that our dissemination, that we have to start to start massively disseminating after the Congress, can save us from true disasters. I'm not exaggerating. Real disasters. Anything that we think that by it we're doing good, besides connecting the nation of Israel, will bring us eventually harm. Harm. Just like the success that we had with the vaccination campaign, that we got the population vaccinated and so on, won't help in any way, to the contrary. All these things will bring about bad things to us, harmful things. We'll see from the all as if good states, where we're as if good, we're as if successful, and weapons and science and agriculture and vaccines and whatever. All these things will turn into bad things. Because all in all, our ego, our will to receive, will eat it all and grow. And from that, we will become even more hostile within our nation. What massive dissemination do you see after the Congress? I don't see. I'm only talking about it. However, you realize it, you do. If you don't, you don't. You have to be in the center of dissemination because you're the ideological group. And besides that, maybe you have to put together some strong group that will be engaged in the practical implementation of these things on different levels. But if not that, we have no right to exist. I'd shut down all of Nebuch. So you're talking about very big disasters that can be prevented. Yeah. Okay, this is something that we can talk about a lot about the disasters, but what is the antidote before these big disasters? The antidote. Simple. Only connection. Only connection among the nation of Israel, within the nation of Israel, and to the measure to which the nation of Israel will understand that connection is their salvation, and that they owe it to the upper force and to everyone else, including themselves. How to use the special attitude toward Israel correctly? We see that all nations of the world, they have a special emphasis on Israel, regardless of what everyone else does. So, to use the special attitude, positive or negative, respected or not, disregarded, yes, no, no matter what, to explain to them where does this special attitude specifically against the nation of Israel come from, and how can we use it and bring the nation of Israel to correction, that then the entire world will answer this call, because then the nation of Israel, they don't have to do something themselves. But by their correction, they will cause a change in the world. Therefore, since the days of the Messiah and today, this day, they are in the center of all of reality. And this is what, and therefore, this is who everyone, this is who we turn to, and the nations of the world turn to, and we have to understand that we have no choice. But for the nations of the world to connect, like you have UNESCO and HAG and UNESCO and the UN and everyone, and for all of them to obligate the nation of Israel to become engaged in connection. And this is how we'll be able to correct the world. Previously, you mentioned that in the United States, or that the left would like to get rid of the state of Israel altogether. They're ready to give Israel up, only they need Israel in order to have some kind of card against the right. If not for the right, they would have canceled this country altogether, the left. No question. No doubt. But they need Israel in order to toy around with it, to use it against the right, because the right there doesn't disappear. The right doesn't need Israel either, but against the left. A few days ago, last week, Biden gave his first speech about their foreign policy, the United States foreign policy, and he talked about the world, he talked about cooperating with democratic countries and to strengthen the connection with Americans' allies and friends, and he named many countries, Europe, Israel, and Europe, Canada, and so on. And Israel was not a part of that list of countries. And people kind of got startled. In addition, he talked about changing the way that the United States will work with its allies. And again, they didn't mention Israel. What tells us actually that the current regime or government doesn't really see Israel as its friend? What are the implications of this situation toward Israel? Biden is all in all a puppet in the hands of Obama. The entire government is Obama's government, and it continues. And therefore, they have deep hate, religiously wise, and also in other realms, politically, geographically. And therefore, there's no point and being delusioned, and that our government doesn't say anything about it openly, that's obvious because it's politics. But all in all, what they want is to hold Israel as a play card between the right and the left in the United States, in short. If we weren't in the middle in their struggle, then both of them would have given us a kick in the butt for us to drown in the ocean. What does it mean that Israel is a play card in the hands of the parties? That they're playing with their attitude toward Israel in order to determine the form of relationships between the Democrats and Republicans. That's how it is all the time. If we look at the situation in the Middle East, Israel is in a very dangerous situation. We have Iran with its nuclear weapons. There's Syria that's falling apart, and the Hezbollah and Iran are going in there. We're entering a state where Israel is... Israel, in all of its fronts, on all of its borders, has danger, has enemies. Up until now we had Trump, says Shelley, and what now? Dr. Lightman. I don't know if it's exactly the way you're going to point, the way you explain it, but undoubtedly our situation is going to be worse. And there are many levels of threat here. I don't think that the nuclear Iranian threat is the worst. It's in the long run, and who knows, and what, and how. It's very dangerous to start with that, you know? Because one way or another, we have how to answer them. There's a problem, and the problem is still in our hands. We don't want to use what we have. The biggest force, the upper force, that can help us arrange everything and bring everyone to connection. This is something that we're not doing. And we have to understand that we, Bnei Baruch, we are the center of change for the better. For change for the better. And this is what we have to start doing. We have to shout in every direction and do whatever we can. And unless it's something that burns in the heart of each and every one of us to make this change, then really they're a shell and not holiness. What threats greater? What greater threat do we have than Iran becoming nuclear? Does Israel have? Our threat is, it seems to us not that, that it's not that bad, but the separation among the people of Israel weakens us and is much more detrimental to us than Iran. Why? Iran is using us in order to show off, in order to show everyone how holy and special it is, that it's battling the Zionistic enemy. But really, they don't care. It's just to stay in power. It's just in order to be in the center of things. Work with other countries and in the Middle East and in general to have things their way. But they understand that we're not going to attack them or anything unless they attack us first. And therefore, they're sure that they have solid enemy here. So if Iran isn't an existential threat to us, then what is? Or is it only our inner separation that can wipe our society out? Only the inner separation, but it's more dangerous. It is more dangerous than any external thing. How do you see the inner separation influencing us? I have plenty of examples from our history, since the first temple, from the times of the first temple and the second temple, and what's in between, what's after, that all the problems that the Jewish people had were because we invited these problems upon us. So how could it be that after our entire history, the Jewish people is really denying the importance of their interconnection? Don't ask about today, but ask about what happened 100 years ago in Europe, with Baal HaSulam, for example, the same. And before that, 2,000 years ago, or whenever. Even in the Middle Ages, it's always the same. History always repeats itself in the same course. So we want to prevent history from repeating itself. We explain it on the different networks, and I think that people are better understanding our content as if lately, more deeply. But what you're talking about is a process of inner change in man's soul. There's the matter of quantity turning into quality. There's the force of society, of the majority here. And therefore, we have to publicize our opinion as much as possible. That I sit within my nation, and then this will bring to change. Many of the friends engaged in dissemination are asking, what do you practically expect us to do? So there is disseminating materials. Are there other things that you expect us to do?
No.
This is what you start with. Only disseminating our materials in order to awaken people to the understanding of what does our good fortune depend on, our good future. Because people are asking us, okay, we understand that only our connection will help, not the vaccines, not anything, but practically, what are you offering us to do? We need to use the internet connection between people to convey, to communicate the message, the method onto them. And after the Congress, we have to see how do we build the virtual network of connections between us meaning among the nation of Israel, for all of us to be interconnected, fulfilling this by different forms of in which we come closer together as much as we can bring the thoughts, opinions, actions closer together, the network of our connection to bring it closer together. And I really hope that this will change reality. This is something that we will have to do after the Congress. Anyone else wants to ask about this? What do you see after the Congress that can allow us to disclose this correctly for everyone to accept it? I think that the pandemic did excellent work, that all around the world it's still evolving, and even though that we might say that there's an end to the work of this virus, to the impact that this virus has on mankind, that people are less afraid, that we're less awakening toward or as a result of it. But still, we have the ability to work, and that's how we'll have to explain to mankind what's the connection between these viruses and the correction of our connection. Okay, next and final topic. Violence and murder of women is on the rise. In the past year, 25 women were murdered in Israel. Last Friday, a young couple, the husband is a police officer. The guys in his unit called him the nerd. He murdered his wife by shooting her twice in front of their four children. And when he was interrogated, he was asked why. He said, "I have no idea." He had no idea why did he do it. And the absurd is that the wife herself, she was a relationship coach teaching other women how to find points of danger in a relationship. So this really means that it could happen to anyone. How could it be that a normative person will do something like that? This is an example that shows us that we have no idea what a normative person is, that psychology and psychiatry isn't worth that much. It's not something that we can rely on. And all the smart people that know how to work with the public, how to mediate, how to do, there's no real basis to all that they do and teach. And therefore, what happens, happens. And suddenly we say, "Oh God, how could that be?" Whoever says, "Oh God, how could that be?" it's a sign that they're simply out of it. They don't understand the profession. They don't understand how things might really happen. And therefore, for them, it's a sudden thing that happens without any preparations or clear data from nature. And therefore, really, it just shows us how much we don't understand, and that we're like little children that are sure that we understand what is going on. We're deaf, we're stupid, even more than that, because we think that we know and understand everything that is going on. And therefore, we ourselves shut our eyes, and therefore, we have to learn by way of suffering.
איך היית מגדיר אדם נורמטיבי?
How would you define a normative person? Normative, that he studies all the time what his nature is, that he doesn't count on the different work that he has and the different researches in psychology and in the university that they make, out of which they draw different conclusions, that it's shameful to attribute it to mankind. I have nothing to say about that, really. Of course, we don't understand human nature, but to rely on what they say, that's nonsense. Does every normative person have such a potential, violent potential? Of course, a person from one day to the next is ascending more and more, and you don't teach him how he should rise above his ego and control it correctly by being correctly connected with the right small environment where everyone has to have their own ten, especially in our times, that we're in the last generation for the past 100 years. So you can just expect it to get even worse. And first and foremost, it'll happen in families where there's pressure on people from all sides. So husband and wife, first and foremost, they're the ones that are in danger. So the trigger to everything is the ego. It's increasing the will to receive from day to day, which is not under the control of people, but what's under the control of people is only the method of how to balance out the will to receive on a daily basis. We learn that insolence will grow and rise in the last generation, that man's enemies are his household, and so on. What we see now are the signs of this? Of course. And it's only the beginning. What does it mean that a person's household are his enemies? That people don't feel that they are corporeally, egoistically close to each other on the animate level, like they're close in body, that it's not enough, that I feel no closeness to that, not even to my children, to my wife, to no one. Don't feel it. But we need to rise the spiritual connections between the souls, that this is the only thing that will help us to be connected, that we'll discover that the connection between us is truly an upper, higher connection, where there is interconnection between us. And if we reach a higher kind of connection, then we start loving each other. And if we don't reach the upper spiritual connection, then we're in mutual hate, enjoying causing harm to each other, even if it's a close person. It's not just so that it says that man's household are his enemies. A man's household are his enemies. We have to explain about these things, not to let go. You write an article, you forget about it, and it's still current. You have to go back to it, to rewrite it in different new ways, and once again to give it to the public. I want to read something. That in the times of the Messiah, insolence will grow and there will be wars and fights within one's house. The Galilee will be emptied. the north will be destroyed, and people will not be able to get along with each other, and everyone will sin, and there will be no truth, and the young will insult the old, a son insulting his father. So a man's enemies are his household. The generation of the face of the generation is like the face of a dog, and the only thing that we can rely on is on our Father in the heavens. Then, as a result of all of these problems, we come to a state where we have no one or nothing to turn to but the Creator. So maybe we can do it in advance. Okay, I wish you all the best. Can we do it in advance? Is it possible before we reach this entire destruction? We have to. Have to try, want, do whatever we can. Yes, we have to. And the nation will want to listen. It doesn't matter, do they want to or not. I, and what the Creator gives me, the different forms that the Creator allows me to influence the nation, I have to do it. Still, how to prevent the next case? Which case? Any kind of violence of the eruption of an ego that can destroy the next family here in Israel. You have to rewrite talks like this one for them and more and give courses on TV and the internet. And discussions about it and give classes, and there are many people that would like to talk about these things and exchange impressions and so on, more and more. What we saw in this case is that a police officer and a mentor, a coach, two systems that are supposed to protect society from violence. I told you what I think about psychologists. What you want for me to talk also about the police officers and other people? There's nothing unless they're related to the upper system of connection. No matter what are the systems they're in, it means nothing. But to the contrary, it opens them up more and more, playing on their nerves. So there's like a social message here that, look, these systems aren't really protecting us. Studying about relationships, how should a relationship be according to the wisdom of Kabbalah? Can it prevent such problems in the future? Studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, no, I'm not pulling them to study the wisdom of Kabbalah. I'm pulling them to our society, that they remain as they are. They don't have to really study the wisdom of Kabbalah and start working against their ego, but they simply have to learn in a more moderate form about how the world's built, about how do we have to behave toward each other, that the future of the world is nonetheless connection, and that the Creator, that nature is pushing us toward it. And this is how we have to bring this knowledge to them, but in the form of talk, in the form of stories, in the different forms in which the public talks about it. It's not through my frontal lessons. We're giving courses called Preparation for Relationships, not for married couples, but preparation for a relationship. People really like it. Can it prevent such cases, courses of this kind? That according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, of course. No, they can't. What can prevent one person from killing another is only if they're in a society that holds them up, keeps them. Only such organizations like TENS, like things like that, more or less. This is what can prevent it, on condition that they don't exist formally, like it is among women here. That can prevent that. So you're saying that only in a state where all of society will be divided into tens? No, not immediately and everything. Why are you, taking it like this or like that? No, more or less, for a person to feel that he's in an environment that talks about connection, that talks about people's attitude toward each other, that nonetheless, that's how it is, that's how it works. It doesn't really happen among the religious, the ultra-Orthodox population. It doesn't happen there that much. It does here and there, but not as much as it happens in secular families, because nonetheless, they learn a bit about connection, about relationships there. So if we want to give some kind of message, the only thing that can sustain that dog inside a person that can kill even the closest person, only society can prevent that. To begin with, the ego that erupts inside a person is not in a state where a person can maintain it, sustain it, but only if he's connected with another 10, 9, doesn't matter how many, and then in the connection between them, he can restrain his ego and even use it for the proper advancement. Last question. What exactly does society inject into a person that takes that person to the proper, correct connection, and in that connection shines the upper force that arranges everything. Therefore, all of our work after the Congress is to bring them to our different circles, but, circles that aren't really like tents, but circles, where inside these circles, they talk and influence one another, and that way gradually bring them closer to a state where they will nonetheless enter some kind of connection. We'll start this work after the Congress. Okay, so seems like the real big thing is after the Congress. No, don't wait for anyone to pull you or to do the work for you. Don't wait. Right? Thank you very much. Be well. All of you. And we'll see. As always, all the best.